let me set this up because it brings you and I together. In 1987, Ray Stevens produced an album called Crackin' Up. And a song from that album was Would Jesus Wear a Rolex? It was written by Margaret Archer and Chet Atkins, the country gentleman. I didn't realize that. I somehow thought Ray had written it, but you and I both know that Margaret Archer wrote the words, I guess, and Chet did the melody, correct?
I'm thinking you're correct.
So, Ray Stevens, you tell us now this part. You booked him at the ORU Maybe Center.
Correct.
To lay the background of this, I have the lyrics for the song here. Ray sings, woke up this morning, turned on the TV set. There in living color was something I can't forget. This man was preaching at me, yeah, laying on the charm, asking me for 20 with 10,000 on his arm. He wore designer clothes and a big smile on his face, telling me salvation while they sang Amazing Grace. Asking me for money when he had all the signs of wealth. I almost wrote a check out, yeah, then I asked myself. And the chorus is, would he wear a pinky ring? Would he drive a brand new car? Would his wife wear furs and diamonds? Would his dressing room have a star? If he came back tomorrow, well, there's something I'd like to know. Could you tell me, would Jesus wear a Rolex on his television show? Those are the words. I could say as a background here, I'd been using some satire in my humor while talking about Oral Roberts those days. He was going to build the City of Faith, so I was going to build the Kennel of Care for cats and dogs. He sent out vials of water taken from so-called River of Life in front of the City of Faith. We had the water tested, and it proved the water didn't come from Tulsa. It came from a packaging company in Dallas. And then he promoted a 900-foot Jesus, and I promoted a 900-foot Lassie. So we were doing all that, and then, of course, I played Ray Stevens, Would Jesus Wear a Rolex, on my show many, many times. So now you talk about how it is you booked Ray Stevens into the Maybe Center.
Well, it was a Southern Shriners convention. I think five states of Shriners had their convention in Tulsa every year, and they have a big dinner and music show, and they asked me to help them with that, so I've got Red Steagall, Stone Horse, and Ray Stevens for it. It was, of course, sold out only because the Shriners were, each of them bought a ticket. There's that many of them there. It was a great, great lineup, though, and a great show. We were all happy with everything the way it was going.
I was there that night.
Yes, but what built up to that night, about a week prior to the event, I got a call from the manager of the Maybe Center, and he wanted me to meet with him and Richard Roberts, who's Oral Roberts' son. I met with them at a little restaurant over on Lewis there. They said, we can't have Ray Stevens in our theater. And I said, what do you mean? Well, this song he sings is an insult to my dad, and we don't want him in there. I said, well, we have no choice. The Shriners have paid you the rent, and they've paid me for the acts, and they're going to be there. And I said, I'm assuming if you cancel it, that right between the power that the Shriners have got and Ray Stevens, he was hot then, tomorrow morning on every network TV show, they're going to be talking about this, and y'all right now don't need that kind of publicity. They said, well, we would respect you and appreciate you if you'd, you know, and they started a religious talking to me, and I said, I have no control over it. I'm going to be there, and the bands are going to be there, and I don't know how you're going to stop it. That's the last I heard from them on it. We went ahead and did the show. But Stone Horse First and Red Steagall did his. They were both short sets, so everybody paid their money to see Ray Stevens.
Right.
And there's a lot of confusion going on there. And do I go on from here with what I did?
Right.
Well, a lot of confusion going on backstage when we're getting ready, and Billy has been my MC, I'm sure. I always had him anyway. I say, John Early, and I knew about their John. You want to do me a favor and go up there and bring on Ray Stevens? And you, really? Yeah. And so you did.
I was near the front. You came to me and I said, sure. And I don't know what I said in my introductory remarks, but I'll never forget. I can still see Ray Stevens coming out on stage looking at me, and he had a big smile on his face because I must have alluded to everything maybe that I'd done. And, and then he was on. And then it goes back to you, because once Ray Stevens was on and I was back in my seat, didn't somebody come to you?
Yeah, he sure did. He came running to me. He said, "How did he get in here?" And I said, "I don't know. Who is it? Is he with your staff?" And that was it. Oh, boy. All my friends in Tulsa who was following all that at the time, they just thought that was wonderful. Did you know John Irving was on that show at the Maybe Center? And I was like, "Yeah, I know he was on there." That was a last-minute booking.
That was so clever on your part to think, I want to have him go up there. And it was so much fun. I enjoyed it. And, of course, something that you and I will remember forever and ever and have all these years.
Yeah, that was great.
I don't imagine Richard Roberts was in the audience. I don't suppose he would have shown up for that.
I don't know. I doubt it.
Yeah. Well, if I didn't thank you then, I'm thanking you now, Ray, for that.
Well, thank you. You made it happen. You made it happen.
And we've talked about it before, and we've laughed about it. That is so funny.
All right.
But, Ray, I have a follow-up story to tell you about Oral Roberts that you may not have known about. Because as much fun as I had that I told you about, and we did the Ray Stevens thing, I was able to actually interview Oral Roberts. I had a friend who had a connection to him. So I went out to Newport Beach, California. It was August 11, 2009. He was 91 years old. I was very nervous about this, Ray, because of all the things that I'd been saying about him on the radio.
Yeah.
And you probably heard some of that yourself.
Yes, I listened religiously to you.
And so I had fun at his expense, but I never made fun of his faith. It was his style of raising money, which was unusual in a way, but it was very rewarding for him. So my equipment is all set up. The condo was, not the best, but it was right there on a golf course, probably really nice in its heyday, some tattered furniture. Mm-hmm. He sat in a big easy chair, he had a big robe on, and he wasn't in good health. He was 91. I start interviewing him, and I'm thinking, do you really know who I am? Do you know the things that I did? He started talking about the media, and he said, you know, the media would really get after me, but I didn't push back, did I, John?
He knew all the time, didn't he?
He
who
knew.
You was.
He knew. I remember sitting there, and I thought, wow. My respect went right through the roof because I thought he knew. And, you know, he probably also knew I was just having fun.
Well, sure, I bet he did.
Even though his son and many out there didn't understand that and they were upset about me. But he probably knew. Sure. And then he knew that this was important for the website because it goes to students and everybody else to learn from him. And so he knew that. And,
exactly.
And then I just needed to tell you that.
Thank you for sharing that with me, John. I like that. I'll never forget it.
And then I got to tell you, Ray, he died December 15th, 2009. That's 2 months later. So it was one of those interviews that were, you know, meant to be.
But yeah, probably the last interview he did.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Very definitely.
Probably.
So anyway, Ray.
Thank you for sharing it, John.
Absolutely.